Well, the Holy Spirit could not have chosen a more perfect song to introduce what he wants to say today through me, or and perhaps do through me today, or do through you today. Remember the recent word, he said, be prepared to receive right where you sit, right where you are in the middle of the service. The Holy Spirit can manifest. Jesus can come. You can be healed sitting right there. Don't tell anybody. For the past several days, two verses keep floating up to me. And I was going, Lord, is that the message? And then they sing what they sing. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, have your way in me. The verse, if you want to look at it, it's in Hebrews, the one for the day, anyone, today. They both have to do with, I'll just tell you the other one. It's in Acts chapter 5, I believe, and it's right after the lame man was healed, if I remember correctly. No, it's a little after that. But anyway, Peter is preaching, and he makes a statement that we hardly ever, yes, sir. He says, quote it. Go, okay, we'll come back. It's Acts 5:32. Peter is preaching. Let's just start in verse 30 for context. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now this is the verse. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that what? Lord, have your way in me. Whom God hath given to them that obey him. All right, now back to Hebrews, because this is the one for today. I have a lot to say about that, but that's not today. Hebrews 5:9. And being made perfect, speaking of Jesus, he became the author of eternal salvation. Boy, isn't that what we all want? Isn't that the prize? Isn't that the pearl of great price? Isn't that everything? What profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Eternal salvation. He became the author of it. Unto all that what? Obey him. Lord, have your way in me. Is there any way that that can happen unless we obey him? And I mean individually. And I mean collectively. For context on this one, back up two verses to verse 7. Talking about Jesus in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, now notice, with strong crying and tears. You think his soul was involved? Emotions are involved. Love is involved. See, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Before I even read the rest of it, do you understand that when Jesus was willing to die on the cross, and then he said, three days and nights must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. He actually went to hell and suffered your penalty. If he didn't, you will. But he did. So we're not. Amen. Can you imagine, though? You talk about faith. See, because once he became sin, he lost authority. He can't get himself out of hell, is what I'm saying. He became sin. He's there. And if God does not come through on his word, he is there for all eternity. He had an Old Testament promise. See, man does not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He had an Old Testament promise that said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shall my flesh see corruption." To the Jew, corruption began on the fourth day. Remember what they said about Lazarus? He's been in the grave 4 days. By now he... That's corruption. Jesus knew, based on the promise, "Neither will my flesh see corruption," that he would be raised before that fourth day. But he risked all of eternity, because if God does not come through on that promise, he has no way to get himself out. Only thing about this phone is they turn off when I talk too long. Let's read the verse again. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death," now notice, "and was heard in that he feared." Doesn't mean he was afraid of God like you're afraid of a rattlesnake. No, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He honored, respected, feared in the sense of he cannot lie. He is who he says he is. He will do what he says he will do. He respected, honored, he had the fear of the Lord in him. And the Lord heard his prayer. And though he were a son, how many sons of God do we have in the room? Male and female, come on. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. My natural brain has a problem with that, about Jesus learning obedience. But he did. It says he did. "Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Well, he didn't suffer under drug addiction, really. Well, in a way, he did, too. Yeah, I guess he did. I'm talking about... Okay, Shandada Piki. Meditation is for later. Right now, I'm to preach. Okay. Well, what we see him suffering is according to the will of God, right? That's the point. On that cross and everything, the whipping, that's not nice enough. That's not dirty enough. The scourging... For years, I thought he took 39 lashes. Now, that's a Jewish whipping. He was scourged by the Romans. That's why it says he didn't even look like a human anymore. Isaiah said he was marred more than any man. Up on that cross, I know Mel Gibson, and he did his best, and it's not bad, but you look up there, he was so disfigured, you weren't sure if that was a man or an animal hanging up there. It's like roadkill, you know. You talk about obedience. But all of it was according... I hear it again. "Lord, have your way in me." That's exactly what he was doing. Was allowing the Father... Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, with the will of God for his son, Jesus, was for him to suffer on the cross and pay the price for all eternity in hell so that we could be free. Now here's the verse, and we're just now getting to the verse. This is the one that kept floating up for today. "And being made perfect," mature. Again. "He became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey him." more and more I'm beginning to fear for the watered-down gospel that has gone forward around the world, that you can just say a simple little prayer one time, not live for Him, really. Dave used to say it this way. A guy says the sinner's prayer, but for the next 50 years, he lives in the bars, sleeping around, and all kinds of sexual promiscuity. He lives like the devil, and then thinks he's going to be saved on that day. Salvation belongs to those that obey Him. There's been very little of that really preached there for a season. Dave talks about the days of coming out of ultra, ultra, ultra holiness. He always said it three times. Ultra, ultra, ultra holiness. Where they'd send you to hell for wearing an earring. And he says, I wasn't talking about a man either. See, that's external man-made legalistic holiness. That's not what it is. No, it's to those that have been circumcised in heart. You're the real children of God. So eternal salvation unto all that obey Him. Now see, you can't get too legalistic with that. The thief on the cross made it. He never had an opportunity to obey Him. How many think he would have had he had the opportunity? I believe he would. Now what's that got to do with us, and what's that got to do with our place? And this is why I have to turn that over and didn't get to bring my Bible again. We're coming very near the end of this purging season. Because I see it every now and then. I'm not a prophet at all, not at all. But every now and then he'll show anybody something if you stay in there long enough. I saw it again. The end. We're still in this fire season of purging. But I saw it again this week. I saw the end of it. I can see through the wall. I can see through it. I'm in it, but I can see through it. And I saw the end of it coming again, but this time it was closer than the last time I saw it. I know we're coming to the end of this season. And what I'm hearing is that this is the season of the purging of the inner court. You got to remember, the tabernacle is a type and shadow of the real one that exists in heaven. But it's also a type and shadow of all of us who are the temple of the living God. Well, there was an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies. In the outer court, if you want to know the truth of it, that's pretty much when you first get saved, and there's no tent in the outer court. It's just a fence thing that goes around, and it's open to the sky. So the way he showed it to me in that outer court, as long as you're living out there, and this is, a lot of people are saved, this is the thief on the cross. They never go beyond the outer court, but in that outer court, that's where the offerings, the flesh offerings, the altar is there. Well, at least it's where they're killed. It's where they're killed. But see, in that outer court, there's no tent. You're still open to the sky. So as long as you remain in that outer court, the light that you walk by is still pretty much the light of this world. You're saved, but you're still walking pretty much by the light of this world. The only reason you are saved is the sacrifice. Thank God for the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. But see, if you want to go beyond there, you've got to go into the second chamber, the inner court. Well, there's a veil that you have to pass through. See, you're going from the realm of the flesh to the realm of the soul, if you want to know the truth of it. And that encompasses everything you are in sense of your education, your parents, your experiences, your theology to a large degree. But see, in that inner court, it's completely covered with badger skin, is what the King James calls it. One translation calls it dolphin skin. I don't know where you get dolphins in the wilderness, but anyway. Anyway, I do know this, the purpose of it was to block out the light. See, if you're going to start entering the realm of purging of the soul, if your soul is going to live in the inner court, it can't continue to walk by the light of this world. When you enter, if there was no candle in there, if you entered that inner room, just saw it. He's amazing. When you enter that inner room, if there was no candle lit in there, it would be complete and total darkness. But the inner court is where that seven candelabra thing is. And it's always lit. It's to never go out. Don't ever let it go out. What's that a type of? Christ is your light now. He is your light. He's more, you got to stay in there, not be living according to the light of the world, but you got to live according to Christ. Now, when I said I saw it, right as I was about to say the words, when you walk in that room without a candle, without that being lit, menorah, that's what it is, without it being lit, you'd be in total darkness. You want to know what I saw? For a love offering of $19.95. Right as I said that, I saw the caterpillar going into the cocoon. Just as he spins that final little bit of thread that closes up that cocoon. Total darkness. God, isn't that amazing how he connected that with the previous lesson? Isn't that something? Now you got to remember the lesson of that, since he brought it up. Got to remember, we're going through a metamorphosis, and I was lovingly corrected by a dear friend this week again. I was saying metamorpho-o, and that's still not how you say it. It's metamorpho. I'm trying again. I'm really trying, okay? But see, that's Romans 12:2. This is the inner court, but that you be no longer conformed to this world, but be you transformed, metamorpheo, metamorphosis, that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that means, since it uses the word metamorpheo, metamorphosis, it means a complete change. And Alan brought this out in his messages too. He said, no matter how bad he wants to, a caterpillar cannot fly. He can go to Caterpillar University. He can go to flying school. He can enroll out here at Spartan. You cannot, no matter what you do, no matter how bad you want it. See, we're talking about revival now. I hope you know this. You cannot fly if you're still a caterpillar. I want to say it this way for today. You cannot fly if you still think like a caterpillar. Because that's what Romans 12:2 says. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, metamorphosed, metamorphosis, be you transformed. Your thinking, our thinking has to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Now for the, since he brought it up, once that cocoon is completely sealed and the caterpillar's on in there, and it seems like total darkness, just like the inner chamber would be without the menorah being lit. You got to remember, it's not pleasant for the caterpillar in there. I went and studied it. I didn't really know how it worked, and I'm very greatly simplifying it for the lesson. But for the caterpillar, see, you might go in there singing nice songs like Alan said, going to be transformed. Going to get a pretty wife caterpillar. Going to get a nice caterpillar house. going to live on green caterpillar leaves. I'm going to be transformed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And then the dissolving begins. Now for the caterpillar, it's not pleasant. It literally begins to dissolve. And it doesn't halfway dissolve. Three quarters is not good enough. 90% is not good enough. The caterpillar has to become, it completely liquefies before the transformation really begins. I'm trying to put my mind in the mind of the caterpillar. Pastor Dave, you said if I pray in tongues a lot, it would help renew my mind because I would understand mysteries taught to me by the Holy Spirit. So I got in my little prayer cocoon, Lord, and I began praying, not Lord, Dave. I got into my prayer cocoon, Dave, just like you said. Dave, I have a report. I've been in there a little while now, and Dave, I'm dissolving. This is not fun. I'm finding out things about me. I hid that in a closet in my soul 25 years ago, and even I don't go in there. Yet in this process, every door is being flung open. I'm dissolving, Dave. I felt better before I started praying. I felt better before I started fasting. Of course, I always think that. Worshiping the Lord. Anyway, what would Dave say? You're doing it right. You're doing it right. You have to stay in there. See, what happens? What happens? Oh, man, I can't help it. I can't help it. My job is to follow the pictures. What I just now saw, caterpillar halfway through says that's enough. I'm coming out of this cocoon. It tries to come out of that cocoon. It's a monster. Half liquid, half caterpillar. Oh, I don't know which half dissolves first. Anyway, can't go with it. That's a train wreck there. Can't come out halfway. Count the cost. Count the cost before you start building this tower. You can tell by the massive attendance, many didn't, but they all thought they did. Count the cost. You can't be my disciple unless you forsake all that you have. I'm going to follow you and pray and let you have your way in me. Well, until they come and egg my car, that's it. They touch my car. That's it. I'm coming out of this cocoon now. Or maybe they start harassing your children at school. Maybe somebody voxes you, or dox you. They dox you. What does that mean? They put your cell phone number and your address available for the people that are against Christ. And they start holding rallies out in front of your house by the hundreds. Have you counted the cost? Where we're going? He said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you too. You saw what they did to me. They're coming after you. Lord, have your way in me. Because, again, no matter how bad the caterpillar wants to fly, let me say it another way now. No matter how bad you want revival, and I want it really bad. No matter how bad you want it, sing songs about it, give money to it. clean the carpet. Thank God for all of these things. Clean the carpets, mow the lawn, clean the building. There is no substitute for the metamorphosis. If we want revival, and we do, we have to stay in the cocoon. And I see where we are now in the dissolving process. See, hopefully by now, you're not living in the outer court. Hopefully, what I mean by that is the killer sins that we taught on for years. You can find the list of them several places in the New Testament. Adultery, fornication. Galatians chapter 5 lists them. Other places lists them. Ephesians lists them. Hope that's all outer court stuff. Outer court stuff. Hopefully we're not living at this point, hope to God. And if you're still messing with those things, if you're still involved with those things, He loves you. I love how Dave would say He will walk through hell with you and help you deal with those things as long as you don't justify them and say they're not sin when God says they are. But if what He's showing me now, all I can do is go by what He shows me. If we're coming to the end of this, what He's talking about now is not the outer court. He's talking about the inner court, the second chamber, not the Holy of Holies, but the second chamber. Most of this purging time for this group and most watching has been an inner court purging, where He's purging things out of the soul, I hate to say it this way, that are idols. And He had me going back through the Old Testament so I could see the stages of the fall of Israel and Judah. And I never really understood until this season where He had me go back and read it again. I did not understand the depth. Did you know at more than one place God said to them, "You are worse than the Canaanites I drove out of this land. You have done worse than them. And if you don't repent, I'm going to have to come judge you." He didn't want to do it. He warned them, prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet. But I know what I mean. And the reason I brought it up about the temple is they would bring idols, not just in the outer court. Now again, by this time, they had a real temple. It wasn't a tabernacle. It was a real temple made out of mortar and stone. They brought Baal, B-A-A-L, Baal images that they made themselves. God, He just makes such fun of that. If you read all the prophets, He said they would take a piece of wood, use their own hands to make their own image out of the piece of wood that can't talk, bring it into My temple, and in front of Me bow down and worship it. And they would thank that piece of wood for giving them rain, and totally forgot I gave them the rain. And they'd thank that piece of wood for protecting their nation, and they forgot I was the one that protected their nation. When I read it, it's like God, you know, I don't know if He really says oy vey. Oy vey, what is wrong with you? You went to the wood, you picked up a piece of wood, you made it with your own hands, you stood it up there, and you think that's God? But they did. Baal was just one. It got so bad they actually like the pagan did, who Baal, if you want to know, he may let me teach on it someday. I've been doing all the research I can so far. Baal is very much like a nature god. It's like the god of nature, and that's why they would thank him for the rain and the blessings and the crops. Baal, in the hierarchy of demons, he is a principality, he's a principality. Under him are powers and rulers of darkness. Some of those by name would be Molech. See, Chemosh was another one. Astaroth was another one. They go by different names in different cultures, but it's the same demons, and they don't die. Those demons are still alive today. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. There is a spirit murdering babies in our land. And it's Chemosh and Molech, no less than, it's the same spirits that were in Israel then, they're in America now. And it demands innocent blood of children be spilled. It demands it. And people bow down to it and don't realize what they're doing. But they... I want him to have his way in me too. I do not want you to hear me today. So I'm slowing down. Trying to get Gary off the rails and him back on.
I am a father. I am a father, and my heart breaks for the innocent blood that's shed in this land and in other lands. I am a father, and I'm the one that said, be fruitful, go and multiply, replenish the earth. Why? That I might receive godly seed, but the enemy, that the masses bow down to, demand the blood of those very children. I'm raising up an army, battle tested, survivors of the fire. Ooh, I hadn't heard that before. Survivors of the fire, like the three Hebrew children. For you have not been walking alone through this fire. There's been a fourth man, the Son of God, myself. I've been walking through with you through this fire, and you are the ones that have survived. And it's been a purging of the soul that I really, truly may have my way in you. Now know this, says the Lord. Yield to me. As I spoke through my servant a few weeks ago in this very house, yield to me. Those personal things now. Those things where you say, this is mine. He wouldn't talk to me about this. He wouldn't take this away. I say, bring them to me. And if I ask for them, let me have my way in you. And give them to me, says the Lord. Whew. See, that's purging of the soul. That's purging of the inner court. I see the pictures now because they had me go back and read that. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, all of the prophets that go along with it, which is most of them. The Old Testament prophets. Even Hosea was during that time, and God told this man, he said, go marry a prostitute. And the reason was, I want to show Israel that they are a prostitute unto me. For they lie down and fornicate with other gods. They have committed adultery on me, says the Lord. Over and over he would call Israel his bride. But that's exactly what they were doing. They would literally bring these idols made out of wood and stone and, ivory, whatever. But they would bring them into the inner court
right in front of the curtain where God's presence was behind it. And I know, we know it was still there because it wasn't until Ezekiel, right near the end of the destruction of the temple, wasn't until Ezekiel that the presence of God departed from the house. He saw the presence of God. That means God's presence was there behind the veil. Between the cherubim above the mercy seat, God's presence, what that precious thing that we're after, the presence that when it fills the house, nobody can even stand. That's real revival. His presence was there as just outside the curtain, his people bowing down to worship other gods. America's so guilty of that. So guilty of that. And Sue and I paid for an abortion one time. Listen, if you've had an abortion or paid for an abortion, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness in our ignorance when Sue and I, before we got saved, a teenage girl got pregnant, and we thought we were doing the right thing. Paid to have a baby killed. Didn't know it then. Stupid. Just stupid. I'm talking about me. It's just stupid. When I found out the truth later on, that's one of the many things that I've had to go to God. 1 John 1:9. Oh God, I killed a baby. I paid to have it killed. God, I'm so sorry. Listen, if you've gone through an abortion or paid for an abortion, just repent. You can't undo the past. The very reason he had Hosea marry the prostitute, because the prostitute would sleep around on him, and that's exactly what Israel was doing. But he says, I want you to show Israel that there's hope because you will not divorce her. And that's what Israel is using. Come back to me. Just come back to me. Stop bowing down to these other gods. Come back to me and I will restore. Says, I will abundantly pardon. Just return to me, says the Lord. So in this season, we're going through this purging of the soul. It's not this, for me at least, it's not now dealing with fleshly sins. It's dealing with things that are just idols in the sense of, football was an idol to me for years. I mean, it really, I wouldn't have called it that. I didn't think it was that. I was saved. I mean, I'm on my way to heaven, but for years and years, Sue was absolutely on Saturdays a football widow. I'd start watching the games when they'd begin about 11 o'clock, and I'd keep watching them till they quit about 11 o'clock. I mean, it was, you know. And he's been so purging, and football's not a sin. Come on. But football, at least that level of it, I don't think a revivalist, somebody's really going to use in revival, is going to bow down that much. During this season, I have not yet watched a full game this year. I've watched parts of, a few, little bit. But to be honest with you, it's pretty boring now. I watched a little bit yesterday, but the weekend before I was trying to get interested in a game, which you don't know what that sentence means. To one who used to be an addict, you know. And I'd watch it a little while, go, boy, this is dull. I'd switch it over to another game. Well, that's duller than the other one. Switch it over. Confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. I will tell you this. I think this was two or three, maybe 3 weeks ago. I was watching an innocent program on TV, and seriously, I'm not going to mention the name because there's just no point, but it was innocent, about as innocent as they come. And just as clear, he said to me, You'd really rather spend this hour watching that instead of spending this hour with me? I'm going to tell you my answer, because I'm confessing my fault one to another. Here was my answer. I said, well, Lord, my soul would. Because I had spent a lot of time earlier that day in worship, in prayer. It was a prayer day here at the church. Long day. What do you mean by that? See, there's people watching, they don't know. We have a prayer schedule here, Wednesdays and Fridays. It's from 10 in the morning till 8:30 at night. Saturday, 7 in the morning till noon. That's just for corporate prayer. You can add prayer to that at home. Well, it was one of those prayer days, and most of y'all know I try to be here as all that I can. And it was long hours. My soul. So I'm just relaxing, you know, an hour before bed maybe, and just turn on a little, quote, innocent program, if there is such a thing anymore. And he asked me that question. He said, well, you'd really rather spend this hour watching that than to be with me? Here's my honest answer. Well, my soul would, Lord, because at this point, those long hours of prayer and long hours of worship, I'm in that stage, Lord, where it's still, for the most part, dry as cracker juice. I'm doing it because you told us to do it. But my soul at this point doesn't get a whole lot out of it, Lord. My soul, it needs a little relaxing. I don't know what the right word is. It needs a little refreshing. I wince even when I say that, because this is the refreshing. With another tongue, stammering lips, I will speak to this people. This is the refreshing, see, but my soul. Well, no lightning bolts came. I think he still loves me. But that did wake me up. Did I know for sure we're in the inner court, because he's dealing with the soul now? My soul has to be free of that. Because he has promises. He has said to us, there are rooms of fellowship where even our soul will be taught. He says, you're going to have to ask me to de-elevate your mind so you can communicate with people, because you're going to start judging the earth with heaven's wisdom, discerning the earth with heaven's wisdom, instead of trying to discern heaven with earth's wisdom. There is a place he's bringing us. And I know it's, see, I started to say behind the veil, but there is no veil now. See, the veil's been taken away. We can come in now, Hebrews says, through a new and living way. We come in boldly. But we don't come in, you can't come in boldly if you come in based on your performance. There's only one way even in there. There's only one way in there. That's the blood of the Lamb. See, we got, y'all can preach. Come on up. Y'all can preach this. Come on. They're mouthing the words before I can say them. But we're still getting something out of it. I am too. So that recent prophecy, it came on, if you want to look it up, it's August 29th. It's at Dave's website. And there were like three that came through Hans Zanstra. Now all of the prophecies are, I'm not trying to, just so you can find them. But there's three of them that came through him that day. Boy, I hope I said that right. August 29th. I'm pretty sure. Yes. This is September. Yes. Okay. August 29th. You ought to read those. Right near the end of it, he talked about bringing your family in. Phil told me about a friend of his whose wife in her early 50s just passed away last night. My first question was she sick? No. Was she old? Early 50s? To me, that's a child now. I mean, just a mere, you know, wet behind the ears, 50. Thank God she knew the Lord. See, we never know. I'm so glad my son-in-law, who went home at age 39,
so glad he knew the Lord. We think we have all this time, but only the Lord knows the time. Oh, near the end of that prophecy, the reason I brought that up is he says, focus on your family. If you've got unsaved loved ones, focus on them. Call them in. I highly recommend calling in the lost to you. Highly recommend that. At least get in prayer. Call their names before God. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest after them. We're not through the purging. We're not through the fire. Yes, sir. Okay. Yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Now, this obeying him comes in two stages. He's been having me go back and study the first two centuries, how they made disciples, because Christianity just exploded in the first 200 years. And it didn't matter that they were under terrible persecution by Rome. It didn't matter. But it exploded not only across what we call the Middle East, modern day Turkey, where Ephesus was and Galatia was, Antioch, Syria, Macedonia, Greece, Rome. It exploded. I've been going, what's going on? How did they make disciples so quickly so that when the persecution came and it spread, it didn't take 25 years to make a disciple is what I'm getting. So I've been going back and studying. I was a little shocked at what I found reading some of the teachings of the early first and second century fathers in the faith. They taught them, I'll just tell you right now what they taught them. They taught them obedience. When I first started reading what they were teaching, I was going, well, this is the Ten Commandments. But you got to remember, of course, many of the converts were Jewish and raised knowing the law. They knew thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie, and so forth. Thou shalt not commit adultery, so forth. But these pagan places where they went, where they grew up with temple prostitutes and, worshiping false gods, they didn't know nothing. Now, if they genuinely got born again, did they get a new nature on the inside? Absolutely. But see, all of the fruit of the Spirit is called fruit for a reason. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. All of those is called the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit takes time to develop. Now, it can come pretty quick. I still remember the first week that I got saved, and nobody had to tell me. From the inside out, I knew pornography had to go. Alcohol had to go. Dirty jokes had to go. Now, I wasn't able to totally change it, but I knew it. But still, there's been fruit still developing on this tree, and there's fruit still developing on your tree. Don't tell me otherwise. But see, they made the, so when I said it come in two ways, of course they would get them to pray and they'd get them to, got to remember, how did they meditate the word? They didn't have a Bible. Much of the Bible wasn't even written yet. They would literally have to go from house to house or at the temple where the apostles were teaching and learn the apostles' doctrine. It says they, house to house, breaking bread, fellowship, and they learned the apostles' doctrine. Remember when he taught us what the apostles' doctrine was? That's right there in Matthew 28, right before Jesus ascended into the clouds. He said, I want you to go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, to do all things that I taught you. So if he's, when they would say, God, I see, God, I know. And 3,000 people got born again on the day of Pentecost. There was 120 in the upper room. And then Peter preached his first sermon. And it says 3,000 people were added that day and were baptized. I believe they were baptized in water, and I believe they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, because that's what he was preaching about. And that's why he said, anyway, got 3,000. Now, granted, most of these were Jews or Jewish proselytes because they were there for the feast. But still, they don't know Christianity. Okay? You got 3,000 of them now that need to be taught what Jesus taught. Well, do you think all 3,000 of them were taught by the 12? That's pretty big classes. But you know what you get if you take 3,000 and you divide it by 120? 25 people. And that's about right. 25 people. 120 of them. Y'all better start getting ready. I'm serious. You better start getting ready. Here's your 25. They're coming to your house every Tuesday. Or every day, maybe, at first. Whoa, that's what Sue would do. Whoa. I gotta fix cornbread. I gotta fix it. They had to learn it. And I was really surprised. I'm looking at it because it's got, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, on and on and on. And I was going, well, Lord, now, get down. I said, this is a little bit different than what we teach about nurturing and maturing the new man. He said, no, they taught that too. But that's fruit. They had to teach what I taught them to rein them in while they're maturing. It's not okay to keep lying as a Christian. Once you know Jesus said, don't lie. Because eternal salvation belongs to them that obey Him. And they were teaching them how to obey Him in their soul, first of all. Getting them to pray, of course, and all the things you read about in all of the epistles that all were came later. But teaching them to pray and nurture the new nature. And I don't know if I'm saying that right anymore. Nurturing the new man on the inside. Okay. Yeah, your nature. The nature of a dog doesn't change from a puppy till it's old. It's a dog. It's not a cat. A cat would train the dog to do right. But anyway. Me and Alan have this thing about dogs and cats. Your nature does not change. Your dog is not going to one day try and climb the cat pole normally, you know. So your nature doesn't really change, but you mature. See, you can train that dog to do all kinds of things as it grows up. Okay. Well, you got to mature the new man on the inside. You've already got the nature of Christ, but you got to mature that man. Okay? So I'm finding out, if we're going to make disciples, real disciples, yes, sir, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. This watered down, mamby-pamby, everything is okay. You don't have to really stop lying. You don't really have to stop sleeping around. You don't have to stop getting drunk. You don't have to stop speeding. You don't have to stop cheating on your taxes. You don't have to this. You don't have to that. That's over. That is not how we're going to make new disciples. We're going to teach them exactly what Jesus said. Now, we're not going back into legalism either. He didn't say go back, you know, send them to hell for wearing an earring. That's not real holiness. Real holiness is what we saw there, in that he feared. You honor God. You reverence God. You get to the place where you can hear God. But they let their soul hear the unvarnished words of Jesus from week one. Week one. Rein in that old man. Rein in that flesh while you teach them how to mature the new man, how to grow up on the inside. So we're in a season.
We've been in this season a while of this purging. But we're going through a purging of the soul. It's the inner court. I see it so clear where the light of Christ now, the light of the new man on the inside. See, how do you obey Christ? First, you just hear what he said and do your best to obey that. That's what they did with him. But see, the goal is really for you to live by the light that comes in that inner room, that inner court. Learn to live by that. That's really what Romans 8 says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That should not be a capital S. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost there. It's talking about you being led by the light of Christ on the inside of you. Learn to walk by Him. See, that is obeying Christ. For those of us that have been at this a while, when he says, Gary, turn that off and give that same hour to prayer. I don't care that you prayed all day. Or give that hour to worship. Give that hour to being in the Word. If I hear that, now he didn't really say that. He was just asking me, but he was setting me up. I see it now. But how do I obey Christ? When he says something like that, I obey him. Otherwise, it's not obeying. That's not obeying. Yes, sir. We'll finish with this verse maybe. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and so forth. But the part I'm after is bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. That is exactly where we've been for a while. We've been in the inner court where every thought now can be judged and brought in obedience to Christ. And he shows me we're nearing the end. Now the next room is not really, see, we picture it in the tabernacle like a room that we've had the dimensions. You can, but see, there is no veil, really, not for us. Because Hebrews talks about literally going into the real. See, that tabernacle, the temple, was a type and a shadow of the real. There's a real in heaven. And the blood of Jesus, the real blood of Jesus, is on the mercy seat there. And we're told to come there. One of the prayers Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, I desire that they be where I am. Now, I'm not saying we're going to all take trips to heaven. But in our spirit, somehow, there is a way that we can literally get in His presence. And when we get in His presence gets more in us. And this is related to Luke 11, where you knock and you seek and you ask. But you get in there. And after you're in there and spend time in His presence, He says when you leave with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the manifester of the bread of revival. Let us continue so that the Lord can have His way in us.